brought back a lot of memories to my own heart. I remember that night. It was an evangelistic meeting, and night after night after night of the evangelists talking. And I was a Sunday school teacher. Now, my generation, for Stephen, you know what I'm talking about. You owe me. Oh, yeah. One time my daughter said, "Daddy, we need to run. It's pouring rain." I said, "Honey, I am running." She brought a tear to my eye as I was thinking about what he was. You know, I was a Sunday school teacher when I got saved. I'd been baptized when I got saved. Baptists are big on baptism, right? You know, I was a church membership and, you know, the whole thing. And like you were saying, this man observed you, right? I had a brother come up to me in Christ. He was an older, not real old. He was a friend of mine. He was probably 10 years older. He'd been in the Navy. He came up to me, and it was randomly out of the blue. And he said, "Donnie, it was just a little odd how you got saved." That's all he said. I said, it was fine. I walked this aisle. The night I got saved, I distinctly remember the Elmer Fudd preacher? He was a dear man. He ran a big Christian bookstore up in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, where he's from. He's familiar with Michigan. And he got done preaching, and I'm sitting there, like I said, and it took me four nights to conclude to the reservation of no compromise that I was lost. That's where I got to. And Roger Frame was the pastor of the church and a good man. And I remember he walked by me, and I grabbed his arm and almost ripped it off. And I said, "Roger, I'm not saved." And that's where it started, that realization. This morning, I've had a lot of thoughts this morning about how to end this. And if you know me, my mind is all over the place because I really, my message is very well. I really want the Holy Spirit to move in my heart to the reflection of what we've been doing. And I think what we're going to do this morning, we're going to talk about the sharing of the gospel, the victory. Okay? And you've heard me say, and I've spoken at your assemblies and others, you know, I'm a rubber meets the road kind of guy. In other words, I don't want you to just take all this and say, "Boy, that was really nice. We love West Virginia much better now." Gospel and the whole thing. So I'm going to start off with a question. And we're going to do some things. But how many of you, when we started off, and we asked that one question about, but how many of you answered me, and I said, "Do you have a dear friend that doesn't know Jesus?" How many of you raised your hands? All right. Is that everybody just about? All right. Between now and the next 25 or 30 minutes, I want you to get that in your head a minute. All right? Because we're going to do something at the end. All right? Now, in the gospel, there's the approach that we... Like, for example, I was preaching to this group and they were lost. It's a little bit of a shotgun approach, right? We don't know who's saved. And I was thinking as Dave was talking, and I'd be amiss that the testimony of Donnie and the testimony of Dave may be the testimony that's needed here today. You've been raised in an assembly. You've been raised in a Christian home. I remember when I got saved, I remember two things I wanted to do. I wanted to convince the church that I'd been a fraud. Now, I may not use that terms, but I had this, I wanted to tell people that I wasn't a Christian all those years, and I was. And as was my tradition at the time, I wanted to be rebaptized because I felt I had been just plunged and got wet. So one Sunday, I wasn't a speaker in those days. I was the pastor said, well, Donnie, you can share your testimony of what happened. One of the deacons of the church's wife got saved that night. And she had been saved, she thought, for over 20 years. Just that testimony. So also, turn that around in your heart. What an awesome opportunity here. If you're here this morning and you say, well, Donnie, this stuff sounds neat, and I've heard Dave's testimony, I heard Donnie's testimony. We've thought about the gospel, and maybe I do need Jesus. Let me challenge you in that this morning, you know, in a non-threatening way, so to speak. Just think about it. Pray about it this morning as you're going through this. So, my assistant got them out of order, so I fixed them this morning. So we're going to do a little review. Y'all like my reviews? Is that okay? If you don't, you can leave now. And then we're going to do some questions again. And I think what I'm going to do, and it's not for my glory, I'm going to share some very practical things that I've experienced, because people often found that a Donnie story is a reality story that maybe will encourage you in sharing of the gospel. I am not an evangelist. I'll share the gospel personally. I'll incorporate it into my messages. But the biggest blessings of my life has came from things that everybody in this room can be. I don't have the gift of an evangelist. I don't believe I do. But yet, we're told to give the word and preach the word. And that's the challenge every believer has. So let's go through our little quiz here today. So we go back to lesson one. We looked at, and I'm not going to hit all these points, and if you're looking at the paper, you're cheating. I'm the only one. I looked over at Dave, and he's like, that's what I have to do to get answers usually. No. But in 1 Corinthians, we looked at a group of people and all these different sins, and it says, and such were some of you, right? And those people on that list and the saints at Corinth, that they came out with horrible backgrounds. And we talked about how the gospel takes care of situations that maybe we try to fix. And sometimes the situations are symptoms of the sin, right? And we can say, well, we got to fix you first. Well, no. We fix them by giving them the gospel and let God clean them up. And who owns the gospel, we learned in the first lesson? Whose gospel is it? God's and Christ, right? And we looked in Romans 1, and it's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of God. We looked at Romans 1:16. And I really, I've had a lot of people come to me and say, Donnie, I really appreciate this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for what? It is the power of God unto salvation. So it's not the Donnie's ability or Dave or anybody in this room's articulation of the gospel. The gospel is the ability to give it, right? But the gospel is supernatural. And I think this one person came to me and said, Donnie, that kind of really helped me because I get so nervous giving the gospel. But knowing it's not my, it's his gospel. It's his power. I was really encouraged with that. And then we looked at the gospel and what does it mean? What's the word gospel mean in the simplest of terms? Good news. Good news. Right, it's a good news. And it's a little harder question. And if there is one chapter in the Bible, and I hope you go away with some of these little nuggets, and if there's one chapter in the Bible that I feel in the first 8 verses, shows us forth the definition of the gospel, what chapter in the Bible? Starts with the first. First? 15. It was the one I used. One might have it too. But 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, and it talked about Christ died for our sins. And, you know, we go through all that. And we talked about he raised again and how Christ died for our sins according to what? Right. And how scriptures and given of the gospel. So it's not an opinion, right? It's based on the authority of God's word, the living God's word. So the gospel is on, and does the word of God in itself have power, right? You put them together, it's not a team. You know, the authority of the scripture, the power of the gospel, that's what gets to people's hearts. And that's very important. And we looked at sin. All right, what's a great verse on the definition of sin? 1 John 3:4, all right? Great little verse. Put that little nugget into your heart. And sin is what, we said?
Lawlessness.
It's the breaking of God's law. It's disobedience. My brother back here, he and I had my notes and I forgot, but the simplest part is missing the mark, right? It's like a... And I found that the older you get, sometimes it's easier to miss, right? We get a little calloused. But sin in its simplest form is missing the mark. And then we looked at, we've defined sin. We've defined death. Y'all remember death? What does death do? Okay, and where was a great example of that in Scripture? Pardon? Genesis. And who was it? Adam and Eve. And what did they do? Okay, now you can come up here and finish my message. You're doing really well. But no, and they were disobedient, right? And they what? Results in death. Death results in what? Separation from God, right? That now takes place. It's separated. These have separated God. So what has to happen? Reconciliation, right? God the Father and the sin separated, right? You've seen, I've thought about making a chart myself. Some of my youth groups here, and they love my drawings, don't you, Reed? I was going to make a drawing for this. Sometimes you'll see, he was talking about black, great gulf. And that's, you've seen that picture. Here's a picture of God on one side and man on the other side. And there's a great gulf, and they're called sin. And you'll see in a lot of these little charts up across. But God saw the problem. And God is long-suffering, right? And he loves us, right? Not willing that any should perish. So we look at God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What was the role of God the Father? Architect, the designer, right? He saw the plan, and we looked at that little verse. I thought it was, and I discovered that verse this study in the book of Acts. He devised the plan. What's the role of the Holy Spirit? Conviction, right. Now, the Holy Spirit does a lot of things, but in the book of John, and if he comes, he shall convict men of their sin. And what was the role of the Son? I heard somebody over here. Accomplisher. Spirit convicts. Take care of the part of God's plan. And God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, reconciled through his blood. And we looked at that. I like the verses that was shared this morning, that the Lord's Supper was talking about his blood being shed. And we talked a little bit on that all through Scripture. You know, it's a great study. I bet many of you have done it. If you study blood in Scripture, it's an awesome, it always has the same purpose about reconciliation, looking over and coverings. You know, I could give you a whole lesson on the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant and how the blood was pouring over. And God looked down and saw that blood, but what did he not see then? The law underneath. It's a propitiation and mercy. These things are so... And that's one of the things I love about the Word of God. It just brings it all together. You know, and the more you study it, the more you get assured of that. So we had the originator, the architect. We got the Holy Spirit. We got Jesus, the bearer of our sins. He himself who became sin. He who bore our sins. Verse in Hebrews is coming to mind. He was made a little lower than the angels. For what? The suffering of death. He was obedient unto the point of death. You can throw all this together. But Jesus came to be that sacrifice, right? The Lamb of God. But it was big enough for everybody, but who does it apply to? What? How do you take this whole big arrangement and architectural design and put it to you? What do you have to do? Receive it. And I was thinking of your testimony and what was the verse. And this is the verse, anybody can remember, that I said, if you don't have it in your heart for soul winning, it's good. It's John 1:12. For as many as received him, right? To them he gave the right to become sons of God. And when you was talking, Dave, I thought of the first one, not of blood. You said your mom and dad and aunts and uncles and brothers. Well, he didn't go to bed one night and wake up as a Christian. A little cabin, I'm assuming, when he was 15 years old in 1935. No, I'm glad he said he was 61 because I was wondering because I turned 60 this month or next month. Is this June yet? Not yet June yet. It's getting close. See, I already fry out my memory. And you receive it. So you have to, and we talked about, there was one perspective we talked about. Receiving it was like what? Receiving a gift. And there was verses on that. So is that pretty clear? Y'all did really, really well in that. So if Justin would come, we're going to ask some questions this morning. We're going to share a few verses. But I really want, in the next 2 hours, where's Kathy at? I just want to see her scared. We're going to do some things, and I'm going to try to set a plate for you. I want you to leave this place not remembering anything Donnie said. But of the testimony here today because of that. So I'm going to start off with this question, is what are the things here in the gospel? Now, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not a counselor like that, but a lot of times we've got to get to the root. And I think we'll find a lot of these are common. So what I'd like for you to do, just list some things. When I talk about giving the gospel, think about this friend, right? Everybody has their friend in their head, right? What are the fears of talking to somebody about Jesus? Oh, yeah. Oh, but you. No. Go ahead, Justin. Please. Good, yeah, fans. Go ahead. What else? Yes, ma'am. Rejection. Oh, rejection. I may throw a little tidbit. I always like that illustration in the Old Testament when Israel wanted a king. That Samuel was really discouraged because he picked Saul. He kind of, you can see he's got his head down and. And God told me, he said, remember, they didn't reject you, they rejected me. Right? Someone else. Yes, please. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Or they'll confront you on something you may not have an answer for. It. Yeah. I feel that even. It's been a. But fear of testing, that's very good. What else?
Ridicule.
Ridicule, right. And Sally's got one. Yes, ma'am.
I think you're trying to be effective for God. Satan likes to come.
Okay, Satan. I'm not going to talk about this in a lot of detail, but and I'll throw this in to you because I really want to emphasize what we're about to do this morning, but I have this verse and we'll just throw it at you. In 2 Corinthians 4, 3-6, it says, God of this age has blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. 2 Timothy, so that they may know the truth and escape the snare of the devil. having been taken captive by him to do his will. And if you study the, and I did not study this for this message, but if you study the four soils, only one of the four really sprouted, but some of them was snared out, stolen. It's true. Very good. What else? Yes, ma'am. Lose your friend. Speedster John. Okay. Yeah. Detrimental. Yes, ma'am.
I guess my personal fear is not knowing, like, good, I don't know where's it comebacks, but, like, they're smarter than, like, I don't know how they're
going to be a good argument. I'd written in my notes the what ifs. But you're right, you know, and they'll.
Can I say intellectual insufficiency or something?
Is that double I? I can't spell. That's why he offsets me. We'd make a good comment. Yeah, from what if to intellectual. That's my life story. I used to tell people when I was research for transportation, I said, I'm not very smart, but I do know some smart people. But what else? This is really good. Yes, Tony. Toby. Yeah, confrontation.
Okay.
I know some brothers who are very good at street preaching. Dr. Arun Ross, who Daddy's a good friend with, used to do some of that. Now, I will say his intellectual level's almost in line. He's a brilliant man, but very confrontational. Steve?
So I was just going to say, much has been done in recent years in the name of Christ that isn't of Christ.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So here's an easy track, side door. Oh, okay. Well, you endorse this and all that, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you're going to go through all that. You don't have to go to the gospel.
So you're kind of fighting against a pre-existing cultural conception.
Exactly. A misconception.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're fighting against false prophets, really.
Yeah. I even thought of guilt with association. That's a Donnie version of what he just said. Yeah, you know. But you're right. You're saying, well, you believe in that. Well, this guy's on TV saying this, and you see he went to prison last week. You know, I remember the era when all the great, and I shouldn't say great, a lot of them I didn't care much for, all these evangelists started getting caught in these scandals, mostly sexual scandals. And so a lot of the world, but that's what, for what it's worth, I was always a fan of Billy Graham. He always had a person went with him everywhere. He would never be in a room alone with a woman. And he was criticized for that. Well, he said, I'm never going to be accused of a woman accusing me of, you know. But there was a whole realm. Remember the Jim Bakers and all? And the whole world said, that's Christianity? Kind of like what you're one of those guys? It's the guy going to prison. Excellent. I saw someone over here. Somebody else? Oh, so that's kind of in the same vein. Yeah. Man, this is good.
And so then, too, like, it becomes an issue of, and it's really not, I guess, our responsibility to this in a sense, but kind of, like, well, kind of. How do we then disentangle their negative views of Christianity that really aren't reflective of Christ?
Right. Right.
And so maybe a fear of, like, not doing that well. Or,
right.
You know, and I think, too, like, if you, as soon as people know that you, well, maybe in their terms are religious, you feel like you are being held to a higher standard.
Right.
And am I living up to that?
Yeah.
Am I being a good person?
Or is my testimony of the gospel,
yeah,
I was the guy who had maybe said a wrong kind of word, or I was in. That's right. Same as our children, from our children, you know. Pardon?
I'm sorry.
And can we take one more? Is there one more? This is much better than I anticipated. This is great. I'm sorry.
I guess you asked about a good friend. Personal fear is you worry that the friendship changes or even.
Right. A loss of that relationship. Or we were talking here, like somebody was telling me, you know, we go vacation with some friends who are Catholic who don't know the Lord, but they're still good friends. We're going to visit a set of friends here in a couple of weeks who are very anti-Christian. I love them to death. I'd add a couple things. It's somebody else's responsibility, the elders, the evangelists. It's Donnie's job, not mine. That's why I'm so much against, I preach this so hard that it's our responsibility, because you're the ones meeting these people. But you have the mentality, and I was raised in the mentality we would have an evangelistic meeting. Your job is just to get there, right? Now your job is to look at them like Christ looks at them. And then the last one I put was, you know, hey, I work in a place I can't share the gospel at work. It's against the protocol, all right? So I'm going to give a little advice, a little things on this. And now I'm going to give you a story. If you turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 9. We looked at 1 Corinthians 15. This is a great chapter. We saw this is where you get the really, really concise definition of the gospel of Christ. And just, yeah, if you want to take that off, then we'll start another one here in a minute. It says, "For I am the least of the apostles," and this is Paul speaking, "whom are not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecute the church of God." We know the story of Paul with death letters, and he actually put Christians to death. He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Are you what you are? We all have different backgrounds. Some are more history buffs, and more are this, and some are homemakers. I am what I am. That's who you are. "And by his grace toward me was not in vain." So by bringing you to the Lord, was there worth in that? Absolutely. Not by vain. It's not in vain. Now, we're not Paul. I think Paul is the greatest intellect in Scripture next to Christ. Some may argue that, but pretty bright guy. But he knew he had Christ. "But I labored more abundantly than all of them." The gospel work is work. It's hard. It's tiring. You believe that? Has anyone in this room lost sleep over trying to wonder how you're going to talk to that friend? Have you? Is it hard? Is it always easy? Is it natural sometimes? No. That's what Paul says here. And he said, "But I labored more abundantly than all." In other words, Paul got it. He worked hard. He died for his faith eventually in Rome. "Yet not I, but the grace of God is within me." So when I see, where'd our list go? I'm sorry. No, you're good, Justin. I'm sorry. We look at our list. You could just put it on your chest to walk back and forth. No. Now I got half. But when I look at this list, I have struggled with everything on that list. Sometimes. Fear, rejection, offend a friend. But I've also sat down with Hindu priests and had great talks with them. I've had a boy work for me, he was Palestinian, and he hated Israel. They'll come right out and tell you, "I hate Israel." We're taught he was a Palestinian. He was a Muslim. You know how I approached him? tell me how you go to heaven. Just have a discussion. And he explained Islam to me. And it was essentially, and I said, that's really neat. I said, I never knew all that. And I said, let me tell you how I believe you go to heaven. He wasn't attacking Islam, but I showed him truth, you see. You go down this list, and he says, not yet, not I, but the grace of God which is in me. Kind of goes back to the power of the gospel. It's within him. It's the grace of God that overcomes fear and rejection. And my advice is, we all struggle with that. But if we have a good message, we just redundant. I like. Groups. I used to have a whole library. Because I thought if I can take them on head on. And I used to be that way. You know what I learned? I just need to know my truth. Let them say whatever they want, but let me tell you what I've got. And I've actually used this expression. It's been a while since we've had either at our home. And I said, tell me what you've got better than what I'm about to tell you. I've got eternal life. I know I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. Tell me what you've got that's better. And you know what? They never come back and say, well, Mormonism is better. They can't. They usually shake their head. Well, we can't offer all that. It's a Bugatti versus a Chevette. You just can't outdo it. Not bragging, but I'm bragging on what Christ has given me. Let me compare the two. The simplicity of the gospel, it's non-works. So stick to your gun. The trick to get in the what-ifs. And I used to do that tremendously. They said the grace of God, therefore, whether it was I, now notice, or they. You're the they. Donnie's a they. We're not Paul. So we preach, and what happened? So you believe. That makes sense? You see, Paul says, preach it. Preach it. Teach it. Have a heart for it. These things are real. Several months ago, I was at Harbor Freight. I was buying a cabinet. And the boy put it in my car and said, so you're a student. We have a lot of students. If you're under 20 at WVU working, you know, you see all these students. He said, no, I'm just out here. He said, I'm just lost in life. I'm trying to find my way. You know what I did? I got in my truck and left because I was in a hurry. I'm like, Lord, I kicked myself. You never gave me such an open door, and I just let it go by because I was in a hurry. 2 weeks before that, I was on AutoStore, and there was some young man came out, and he says, Dad kicked him out and this and that. I ended up giving him a gospel tract and inviting him to church and shared what I could and told him God loved him. Within 2 weeks, I had a great opportunity, and you ever walk by a good opportunity, or you guys much better at this than me? I'm going to tell you Donnie's story, and I'm telling you this story because these are the simplicity of things we can do for the gospel. My whole career, I was in management almost my whole career for over 38 years. And when I graduated from my master's at WVU, I had to do that little WVU name drop. No, when I graduated, the chapel got me a little Bible. You know how you give graduating seniors a Bible? And they gave me a little Bible, a little New Testament, actually. And my whole career, I'd go into work, and I always had a desk. And I purpose in my heart, because I was a manager, I had a lack of liberty sometimes to talk to people about Christ, legally. Now, if they talked to me, it opened the door, right? Donnie, you know, I know. But for 38 years, I kept that Bible in the center of my desk on the front edge. I never had it opened. It says New Testament on it. You could tell it's the Bible. It had a little red marker sticking out. I'm not sure in 38 years I opened it very much. But I had it there as a testimony. And people, that was some of the most cursed. I worked in heavy construction. I worked with iron workers. If you're an iron worker, no offense, but they can be a rough group. I worked with unions. You name it. They walked into my office. and they could be the most foul cussing people, but they had a respect for that Bible sitting there. And to me, it was a testimony. So when I went to WVU, now I'm in the liberal world, you know, preaching the gospel and any kind of religious things out. Well, I struggled with it because I was in the WVU research facility, and I put my Bible. I said, I got to do this. And then I got bolder. I put a gospel tracts, a little stack of gospel tracts, and I put a little sticky note, and I said, free, take one. 2-3 months go by. I come to work one morning. They're gone. Every track is gone, and the Bible's stolen. So I kind of laugh it off and go home, and I said, well, Sherry, I guess somebody stole my Bible. And I said, I kind of hate losing that little Bible. And they took the tracks, and everything's gone. I guess somebody got ticked off, you know, that it was there. Several months later, I was working really late. It was like 9:30 at night. I was working on a project, and I never see the janitor. And this gentleman comes in. He was Hispanic. Had a little bit of broken English, and he was sweeping the floor with this machine. I see his head stick around my desk in my office, and he said, are you man with Bible? And I said, I was. And he said, he gave me his name, never met him since. And he said, I took one of your tracts, the gospel thing. And he said, I took your Bible. Now he thought free take one included the Bible. I'm glad the computer didn't go too, but. And he said, I took it home and I read it. He said, I believe in Jesus now. And he said, I came back the next night or two nights later. He said, I took all your other tracts. You know why? He said, I want all my family to know Jesus. What did it take? A little boldness. Never said a word. Took a little yellow sticky note, nothing fancy. It had a little arrow on it. Please take one. A gentleman who had a Hispanic background of some type, good broken English. Never met him since. All I know is he said, I believe in Jesus now. We didn't go into this big theory, like how did you accept Christ? What did you do? He took a tract. He took a Bible. And then he came back. Now this man came back, and it's like the woman at the well. He ran into the town member to come see this man. He came back and said, oh, more tracts. And he gave them to his family. What did that take? All it took on me was a little courage. The worst thing that could have happened to me, the university could have said, Donnie, you can't keep those out there. Or somebody would have got offended. Nobody did. And I worked on those relationships, right? They knew who Donnie was. I'm not a preacher at work. I show them a lot of love. Very important. The next thing we'll talk about just a little bit, when we come to the gospel of Christ, is a great need, that we really understand the need. Paul says in Romans 9, 1-3, let's look at that because this is a hard verse for me. Romans chapter 9. I'm not even telling you I fully grasp this verse to the depth of which Paul means this. But Paul had a, although he was a preacher to who? The Gentiles, right? Here to the Jews, Paul went to the Gentiles. But Paul loved his brethren, his Jewish. That was his heritage, right? And he says in verse 9, he says, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen to the flesh, or Israelites, to whom pertain to the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and on down this list. The impression I get is Paul said, I would become accursed if you could see the truth. I don't know if I could say that. Paul said he had great sorrow and continual grief in his heart. One thing that motivates us is understanding what it really means to be lost. we may not understood it ourselves really well. Baptists are good at preaching hell and brimstone. Sometimes, I've even found preaching sometimes it's hard to talk about this subject, and maybe I'm not bold enough on it. When I read Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, the great white throne judgment, and it says very simply, and we could do a big dissertation on hell, and we know it's a place prepared for the angels originally, and we know that it wasn't even designed originally for man. A man fell, and then there was this place of internal grief, and the worm, you know, we could go down this list. But I picture that scene of the great white throne, and it says, I see just made this observation of the day, and he said, I saw these books, and then there was a book of life, one book for the book of life, but multiple, and then that book of life, God told you what you've done. Romans chapter 2 is all about, and it goes into Romans chapter 3, and especially Romans 3, it's not an unjust God. He will hold you accountable. He keeps a list. Come picking this up. He's like a lawyer opening the book and says, here's the affidavit where you signed it. You've done this. This is our witness of what you've done. And you're going to sit there with your heads. You can't deny it, right? And that's what they said. There's books. Apparently it's so big, and I'm probably over-sensitizing this, but there's multiple books, it says, plural, of the sins. Here goes another one. And the minute we're born again, our name in that book. It's never opened again with us. Transferred over here, and I'm not sure it's all those logistics, but I'm sure you don't need a computer system to do it. But over here it says Donnie Williams was damned on that day in a little Baptist church. And I about ripped a preacher. When Dave was in Greenwood Hills in a cabin, when Sherry was in a Sunday school class, at that moment, I believe, a scribe in heaven wrote Donnie Williams' name in the book of life. And it says all those not found in the book of life was cast into the lake. Internal punishment. We got to understand there is a severe consequence with not knowing Christ. No matter how you cut it, no matter how you dice it, no matter what they say, no matter what they believe, there's a consequence. Which takes me to my next step. We've talked about the fears of the gospel. The next one I'm hoping as we lead toward the beauties of the gospel a little bit here. I'd like for Justin to start another one, please. Yeah. Let's see what he does with this one. So I want to end up with, as we go down this path a little bit, and I'll share another little story on sharing the gospel. What are the benefits of being a believer in Christ? So if you're sitting there, and like you ladies talking about, and you're talking to that friend, and that friend says, well, you keep preaching Jesus. You keep preaching Jesus. Oh, what's the... And he was to say, well, I love Jesus. Tell you what it's done in my life. Let me tell you what the Bible says has happened. I hope our list is as good as the fears. So give me some. What are the benefits of being saved, being born again? Yes, ma'am.
There's nothing better going than Jesus.
Okay.
There's nothing better that's happening or is it something.
Okay. Nothing better. All right. Yes.
There's no condemnation.
There's therefore out. Right. Therefore now, no condemnation to what? Those in Christ Jesus. Steve?
Peace that passes understanding.
Peace, yeah. Toby?
Victory over Satan and the world.
Wow, Man, we should have done this first. I would know what I was going to speak on. Go ahead.
Hope,
yeah. Hope, wow. Looking for that what? Blessed hope. Yes, sir. Purpose, okay. Right.
I guess I'll also add on meaning.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do that. One of your words. When he comes down off his mountaintop, see, we love him. Yes, ma'am.
Adoption.
Adoption as sons and daughters. Yeah. Full adoption too. I mean, if you study that in Galatians. Who? What else? Yes.
Restoration,
safety. Amen. Yes.
Wisdom and discernment.
Okay. And a lot of that comes from who living within us? The Holy Spirit living within us. John?
Heaven.
Why?
Heaven.
Heaven, yeah.
A new family.
New family, right.
A rescuer in any situation.
Good. A rescuer?
Acceptance.
Pardon?
Acceptance.
Acceptance, yeah.
A best friend.
A best friend? You can add whatever you want, Justin.
Okay. the satisfaction of glorifying God.
Right, bringing God glory.
Yeah.
If you write what I wrote, I'm really. What else? Anything else? Joy, right? Joy I give you, not peace I give you.
Comforter,
yeah. We even have the guy living within us, or the Holy Spirit, when it says, when we don't even know how to pray, he helps us, right? With moans and groanings. What else?
Freedom, redemption.
Freedom, redemption. Right. Seats at the right hand of God.
Truth.
Truth. Power in his resurrection.
Covering.
Okay, covering. Need another sheet?
Yeah, I think we're okay.
Need a smaller marker. Anything else?
Implicit in all this love.
Love.
Yeah.
Some people. I know, as in my case, the only fatherly love I've ever had was really from my Heavenly Father.
Eternity.
Yeah, eternal. I had that here. Eternal life or eternity. Yeah, which is goes with the heaven. It's a real.
It's a
on the left hand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, eternity. There it is.
Oh, okay. I'd written down on cleansed by his blood, clothed in righteousness. You know, that we're seen in Christ. It's not in Donnie. We're seen in Christ. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit in Ephesians. You know how we could talk about that. The Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit living within us, that promise in John. We have a home, John 14. I go to my, well, some of my mind went. In my Father's house there are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare, I will. And what about, you said hope, and the hope of his return. Yes, Toby? Okay. All right. I thought I had to 12. Okay. So, we have the most wonderful story. So, I want to end with this, and it just take a little exercise. And, Toby, you're going to have to write fast. Or, Toby, Justin's going to have to write fast. For this one. I'm going to put this challenge. I'm going to put at the top, I planted.
Planted?
Planted, yes, sir.
Okay.
Based on 1 Corinthians 3:6. Apollos watered. Apollos.
L-L-O.
Close enough. Apollos. Watered. That's all I need. I planted, comma. You got to put a comma there.
Okay.
If you're going to do it, Paula's born. We've had an opportunity this weekend to encourage us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It means nothing if we don't use this. So really quickly, I want to go down the line, and I want Justin to write those names on this board. That person I asked you to think about. And I'd like for the assembly to take this with you, or you can take a photograph of it. And my challenge is, maybe for a week, we pray for these people, that you'll get that opportunity to be a cedar or a water. Does that make sense? So, not a shotgun. Let's take some people and think about this. So, real quick, remember I asked you to get that name in your head? And we're going to really go through this quick. We're just going down the line. If you take your turn, just give me the name. No explanation. Don't tell me about the story behind it. Names down. However he wants to do that. Sally, you want to start?
Cindy.
Don't even move. You're going to have to write quick.
Okay.
On down.
Frank and Susie.
Frank and Susie.
Lucy.
What'd you say?
Okay.
Let's go and put that on. He can write faster than that. Next.
Marlene.
Jeff.
Brian.
A-M-I-R-A-H. Okay, has everybody on this side went? Everybody? All right, let's start with the girls up here and we'll make sure we get them.
Si.
S-I?
S-A-I.
S-A-I.
Bailey,
God knows. Sherry? Sherry?
Albert.
Well, it's worth that's her dad. You gave one, didn't you?
Rose.
No.
Go.
Dana.
Gina.
I and I.
Just do it. Read. John.
J-O-N.
J-O-N-E.
Joan. Okay, this is, okay. All right. J-O-N or J-O-H-N?
H-N.
And this is an S, right?
I'm going.
It is
all right. Next. How about back here? Anybody left? Back through here? You guys?
Alexis?
Sandy? Why or I? I'm just helping them out.
Thank you.
Anybody not give one?
Or? Silas.
S-I-L-A-S?
Follow it? Alex? Okay. What? Zeke? All right, anybody we forget? What? Amelia. Okay. Anyone else?
I am hard.
One more, we'll take. Yes?
Dan and Melissa.
All right. And mine? I wasn't thinking about one. Let me think. Well, you threw me off. Yeah, I always pray for Joe. All right. First of all, thank you, Justin. You've been a real blessing. So, we'll end with this. Our light under a bushel does no good. You agree? We have a whole list of fears. Greater is he that lives in you, it says in 1 John, than he that lives in the world. We have the greatest living hope within us. We have all the benefits of something to share with somebody that's like nothing else. Each of you have put a name up here, and what I'm going to suggest, I know all young people, take a picture. And let's try to pray for these people that you have an opportunity to say, well, let me tell you about how God architected a plan, or how, let me tell you how Jesus bore your sins. Fair enough? And let's take what we've learned, and it's not about Donnie, it's about the preciousness of Christ. And let's see, wouldn't it be neat, and maybe if somebody could let me know, if Billy Graham used to say when all the people came forward at his revivals, he'd say, how many people really got saved? I'll say this to Larry King. He said, I pray a fourth of them are really born again. Wouldn't you love to see a fourth of these, 20 people come to know Jesus? But we know it's the work of the Holy Spirit. We know it's all, but we're the preacher, like Paul says, go preach. So let's close with a word of prayer. I sure appreciate this opportunity to be with you. As Dave said, it's not about Donnie. It's about all of us working together. I just have a role here as long as the people who put the refreshments, the Toby Trio, as they're called now. A lot of work behind the scenes. It's all about the gospel. It's all about bringing him to glory. So we pray the greatest glory is seeing these people come into the kingdom of God. Wouldn't you agree? So let's just close with a word of prayer. So Heavenly Father, the opportunity you have given us to learn and to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this list of benefits of things that happened because of that, and we are so thankful that our sins are forgiven. We just pray for everyone here today that, Father, that the things we have learned is not, like I say, rubber meets the road. We want to go out and then be able to incorporate this. Let's hear great testimonies about how people use this in the sense of spreading that of the gospel. Behind us is a list of 40 to 50 names, probably, of people that don't know Jesus yet. So we just pray for this light to go forward to them and the wondrous gospel of Christ. We pray these things and thank you for this opportunity. Amen.